As the sermon refers back to the children's talk, we've included the children's talk here as well for you.
I have a question for the children. I'm sure it's a question you can easily answer. Who has watched a movie on TV? You've watched a movie on TV? Oh, good, good, I'm glad. Okay. All right, next question. Who has watched a movie at the movie theatre? Right, oh good, my hand's going up front. All right, now here's a tricky question. Have you ever watched a movie in 3D? Oh, right, okay. Thank you, this is the modern generation, they know what 3D is. You know, can you explain the difference between 3D and 2D? Yes?
3D, so if I can, so everyone here can see in 2D, in 3D, sorry. So you can see the length, the
breadth, and the depth.
And the depth.
That's right, it's if you're inside, isn't it? So if it draws you in. Well, today is Trinity Sunday, and sometimes people ask the question, how do you understand God as three in one? It's a trick question, or it sounds like a trick question. In fact, through the centuries, it's often been asked as a trick question. But I think that we today have a very good image with 3D. 2D is height and width. 3D, the third dimension, gives you depth, the depth that actually draws you in, that makes you feel like you're part of what you're watching. Three dimensions. So if you're ever asked, why do Christians believe in Trinity, you say, well, ours is a three-dimensional God. We have a 3D God. Fair enough? I think it's not a bad idea. All right, I think we have a song and then the children leave. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I recently came across a rather interesting distinction made about faith. A distinction of faith, it's a rather interesting one. This theologian, I think from a German theologian, Karl Barth is his name, I think a relation to the famous Barth, Swiss theologian some years ago. But he made the distinction between what he called omega faith and alpha faith. The alpha faith is the faith which is reflected in our creeds, our beliefs, our statements, how we articulate what it is that we identify with and what it is we believe. But he also made the point there's omega faith. Omega faith is the grounding of the faith relationship. And he said omega faith comes before alpha faith. And this is quite true. The experience of faith precedes the articulation of faith into belief. And it is that dynamic that led eventually to the formulation of this doctrine we call the Trinity, this understanding of Trinity, which is the unique Christian understanding of God. It arose initially, of course, out of the early church experience, reflected in the New Testament, of these three dimensions of relationship with the Almighty, with the one who is God. God is Father, is Creator, Father of all, Father particularly of Jesus Christ. And then in the aftermath of the Easter events, resurrection, ascension, the issue of relating to God as the Son, the Christ, the risen one. And that's in the New Testament and in part of Christian experience. And then there's also, of course, the Spirit, referenced not only in the New Testament, but even allusions to it in the Old Testament, as we read today, referring to wisdom, that sense of the dimension of God that reaches out and touches human beings, even in that early stage of revelation. So we have these three dimensions, these three elements, these three somethings that are all part and parcel of the Christian experience, the Christian story, the Christian belief. But then there came an interesting point in time, about three centuries after Christ, actually, when people began to ask the question, well, you Christians, do you believe in one God or more than one God? More particularly, If you take the story of the Ascension and take it, read it sort of naively in the sense that this is representation of reality, you have this image, often depicted in art, of an older figure and a younger figure. God the Father, and on his right hand, God the Son. Two figures, two beings, one senior, one junior, one who is before the other. Oh, does this mean that Jesus is actually less than God, as the Son follows the Father? All these questions came up. We won't go into it. This will run the risk of turning into a lecture, and I don't want to give you a lecture. Just want to sketch out where it began. It began really with a binitarian question, the relationship of God the Father and Jesus the Son. When the first creed came out, the first Trinitarian creed that actually encapsulated that, the Holy Spirit was effectively a footnote. In the creed, as we will read today, as we will say it today, it was basically the first two parts. We believe in God the Father, blah, 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 blah. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. And then it ended, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, full stop. Nothing further was said. But then later, of course, that became a question too, and eventually it all evolved into the doctrine as we know it. Well, I mean, that's all very interesting at one level. What does it really mean? What is its impression? What is its value for us today? That's the real question. One of the things I find really interesting is where Trinity Sunday comes in our liturgical calendar. It follows after Pentecost. Pentecost follows after Easter. Easter follows after Christmas. There is a sequence here which is telling us something. Christmas is actually the celebration of God the Father. The focus of the babe in the manger is actually not the real focus. Because the babe in the manger is God's gift, the incarnation. The celebration is what God has done for humankind in giving this gift. Then the outworking of that gift comes, of course, with Easter, which is the celebration of God the Son, his passion, his suffering, his death, and then the resurrection, which indicates that this is something not to do with just human machinations. This is God at work, taking us through suffering, through death, into a new life. And then that's followed by Pentecost, the celebration of the outpouring of God's Spirit into God's people, enthusing, that delightful word from the Latin, entheos, I think it is Latin, no, Greek, entheos, in being in God, in God indwelling. And out of that experience, of course, is formed the church, the community that then carries on the mission of God, this mission which is expresses sacrificial love, care, compassion, acceptance, challenge. All the works of God, the mission of God, comes through in the church. Now, of course, coming back to what I said a moment ago about that origins of the Trinity, we're all aware, and you know immediately, when I say the words at the end of the service, or at some point, you know, in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know exactly what I'm referring to, and there's no problem. But if I was to say, in the name of the Usia and the three hypostases, you would think I've gone a bit balmy. It might make a bit more sense if I said it in the name of the substance, of the single substance and the three persona, or the single substantia and the three persona, which is the Latin from that earlier Greek, and then from that we get substance and three persons. That became kind of the language of Trinity. And that language is a two-edged sword, because it gives us both a sense of three individual beings, three persons, and indeed in the 20th century there's been a lot of talk about a communitarian understanding of the Trinity as these three, which I find problematic because you end up with a kind of a committee, a triumvirate. It's not what you want, not what we're talking about. And in fact, you see, this is actually quite significant, because in our day, just as in the days of the early Christians, Christians are being challenged, do you believe in one God or more than one God? And if our language gives the distinct impression that we actually believe in more than one, we run into considerable problems, as is happening in part of the world when dealing with Muslims, for example, and with trying to convey our message into a polytheistic context such as Hinduism, for example. Our language sometimes can confuse the picture if we haven't thought it through and recognise that actually the Trinitarian belief is not three things, one called God, one called Jesus, and one called Spirit. Those are names that come out of the narrative. The three dimensions, going back to that 3D image, is the height, the majesty of the divine, God the Father. The breadth, encompassing reach of the divine, God the Son. And the depth, the connectedness of God to the world, to creation, to that which God redeems, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is three in one, and the oneness must always be, as it were, the lead. And of course, there's been many, many theories and discussions about how that all works, but I think in the end, what we need to be aware of is what emerged out of the Christian experience, which what has been tracked through in so many ways through the centuries, and what is important for us today, is the experience of God in our discipleship, in the life of the Christian community, which is one God who is creator and helper, one Saviour who is God, who is Jesus, who is the one who is with us, who is God, who is Emmanuel, God with us, and the one helper, the Holy Spirit, referred to in John's reading today, the Spirit that leads us into truth, the Spirit which brings us the truth of God as the companion in and through all life. And the importance of that pastorally for us is this. It keeps a sense of balance. It is very easy in some contexts, in some religions, some religious situations, even some Christian ones, when the sense of seeking for the Spirit borders on a quest for magic. I want special power. Let's face it, folks. The Pentecost image really, really bugs me. I struggle with German language, let alone any other language. Now, how come in the Pentecost moment? You see, that's the narrative that is more than just simply about individuals suddenly having instant language. It tells us how the Spirit enables the church to reach out to all the world. And of course, as missionaries throughout history will have told you, they spend years studying the languages in order to communicate and working in Bible translation. It doesn't happen by magic. It happens through the hard work of human gift, grace, perseverance, and God working through that. Not magic. God with us in the depth. And also, of course, in our sufferings. We'd love to be able to, you know, subvert the whole medical process. But in reality, in prayer for healing, we know it's not a matter of trying to avoid reality, but seeking God's grace to sustain us in and through. And yes, by grace, bringing about healing, but it may not be the healing we expected. And yet it is God with us. And why? Because we know that God is the God of suffering also. Not just of power, but the God of suffering. So this humility comes in recognizing what God did in Jesus Christ. After all, if God is so powerful, so great, why go through the cross? The cross tells us that God is with us in and through the deepest realities of life, not avoiding them, not, as it were, removing them as if by magic, but being with us. So the Trinity holds together. Yes, there is power and there is enthusiasm and there's vibrancy in God and in God in us. There's also humility and questing and struggle, as we see in Jesus. And that there's also that sense, always that sense, that beyond whatever we are dealing with and are struggling with, that sense of majesty, that sense of transcendence, that sense of the divine which is beyond anything and everything that we are about, and which therefore both empowers us and beckons us into our future. The Trinity is a very powerful image. It's a very powerful reality. It is, for me, the three dimensions. So I think, in a way, the children's talk said it all. Anyhow, from the experience of faith came the Christian understanding of God as Trinity, one God, three dimensions. From our grasp of the meaning of Trinity as an affirmation of the one God whose own diverse relational dimensions embraces inclusively all dimensions of creation, we have a basis, a strong basis, for our faith, our belief, our life of discipleship. Amen. Amen.